This audio is brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your local agent and good neighbour. Alicia has got you covered with personalised service and reliable coverage for all your insurance needs. Call or stop by her office on Hart Street in Buffalo and see how she can help you save and protect what matters most to you. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
Okay, it's almost the bewitching hour. In fact, I'm ready to stand for the pledge of allegiance. Shoreline waiver. This first order of business.
Mr. Chair, you may just refer this over to Deputy Attorney Craig O to explain the impetus for why we have to put this waiver in place for this property owner.
Okay, very good idea. Mr. Craig O, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, this is just an agreement between us and a landowner who has property along the lake, along the shore. The county owns up to 4620. We then have what's called an emergency flood easement up to 4630. But we don't own that, it's just an easement. And so if anybody wants to build within that 4630, we, in exchange for us agreeing to them to build there, we ask them to sign a release indemnification agreement saying that if we have to use that flood easement, they understand that their home or whatever they're building, shop, etc., could be damaged, and that we're not responsible for that. And that's all this agreement is.
With that explanation, do we have a motion for approval?
I make a motion to approve.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second, Mr. Chair.
Motion. Is there any discussion on that before I go any further? There was no discussion.
No
discussion. Did we second that?
Yep.
Okay, motion to be carried. Okay, the next.
Mr. Chairman, you need to
vote on that. Vote on that?
I don't know. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. All right. Johnson County year-end review. Eva Sponda, man in the hot seat. Man responsible for all of our tax blows.
No, that's a treasurer. I just said values. Okay, the 2024 yearly update for the assessor's office. We have a new employee, a new field appraiser. His name's Jason Pinwell. He has already passed three of his classes, and he's temporary certified. Hopefully, he will be fully certified by sometime in 2025. The assessor's office saw quite a few things going on this year. Start off with House Bill 45, which gave a 4% cap on the amount that a dwelling or an improvement could raise in a year. If it lays 5%, then it capped at 4%, so we'd only have to pay a tax on the 4% increase. For 2024, that resulted in about $1.5 million in assessed value resulting in $115,000 in tax dollars that was exempted because of that. For 2025, that 4% cap will continue, and it will also add in land associated with the residential house. In addition to the 20% of the parcels that we need to visit each year, there's been approximately 60 new homes between 2023 and 2024. So they're still building a lot. We're still picking them up. It continues on. The long-term homeowners exemption is also new for 2025. It's progressing pretty well. I've done just about everything I can think of to get the word out to everybody. It was in the bulletin a few times now. It was on 307 Net Radio. It was on the back of everybody's tax bill, but most people don't look at the back of their tax bill, but it was there. It's on our website. I recently sent emails to several of the churches around town, thinking that was a good outlet.
Mr. Pesek, can you explain to us what the home exemption?
Okay, if you're 65 years or older, and if you've paid taxes in the state of Wyoming for 25 years, and if you live in your home for at least 8 months out of the year, then your taxes are going to be reduced by 50% on your residential home for 2025, and it's also set for 2026. It doesn't have to be in Johnson County. It can be anywhere in the state, because a lot of people have moved from a different county or something, but if they can show us that they paid taxes for 25 years, then they get the exemption.
Good, thank you.
Amendment A, which was just passed in November, is something that we're looking forward to, hopefully. What that does, a lot of people didn't understand it because of some of the flyers that were in the mail were confusing before the election, but it did pass. That's going to give the legislature the opportunity to drop residential tax rate from 9.5% to something lower than that. What that is, we don't know. That will probably happen next month. but that would be across the board. It wouldn't be, you know, age discrimination, or, you know, there won't be age discrimination or income. Like, the refund is based on income, the long term is based on age. This would be across the board. Everybody gets, you know, the same deduction in their taxes. In addition to those things that we've done, there's been quite a learning curve as far as the assessors go, trying to implement the changes and get everybody that needs the exemptions to get the exemptions. There's a lot more behind the scenes than people would think about. It's a little tougher than just, you know, you have to find the accounts, it's complicated in the CAMA system. But it's been taken care of, and, you know, I think it's going on pretty good. I know the Department of Revenue has spent a lot of hours working on the software, trying to get it to work. County valuation was down approximately 20% this year from last year. We're a mineral-dependent county, so most of that's oil and gas. Hopefully oil and gas goes back up for next year. I know uranium's going up, so that'll be a plus. You know, the uranium ones, they doubled their production capacity for next year. The housing market is kind of leveled off. I mean, it's still high, but we're not seeing the big jumps like we did in 2021 and 22 and 23. Those 4 years were terrible. The last year I didn't have to really do anything different as far as the adjustments go. And this year it's looking like there's not going to be too much, you know, we're pretty much there. The values that we have we're seeing to be pretty close.
How is the 50% tax reduction on the senior residential property going to affect the county's budget?
Well, it's obviously going to have an effect on it. The thing about, like, our county, since we're mineral rich, or not rich, but we're mineral dependent, you know, 60-70% of our value comes from oil and gas and minerals and sand and gravel and all those things. So even though we're reducing residential taxes by 50%, you know, I don't have a number for that, but it's not you know, it's not the end of the world. Like some counties that have no oil and gas, and that's all they have is residential and land and buildings. It really affects them a lot worse than it does us. But it's still, you know, the exemption itself was $115,000 in exemption tax dollars. This is probably going to be more than that because it's 50%. But I don't think it's going to be hopefully, you know, if the gas and oil and gas goes up 5%, then that's going to cover the difference.
Okay. We're already down 20%. Okay.
How does that on that uranium, because I believe we only get 2% off that, are they weighing for cake? How are they getting it? Where are they going and how are they figuring that out?
I don't know that because the DLR just gives us a value. So I don't know all the stuff behind the scenes on that. We don't really have to do anything as far as production goes for them. They have to report their production to the DOR, and then the DOR gives us a value each year to say, this is what you need to tax these people on.
So off the production.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. There's, I don't know if it's on yellow cake. Well, it can't be on just yellow cake because a lot of it's shipped to, you know, somewhere else to make yellow cake. So I'm not sure how it's worked.
Anybody?
That's all I have.
I do not know the answer either, but we can find that out for you.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Okay,
next on the agenda, the Lake De Smet annual reporting letter.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir. I don't think I've got that.
Okay. One of the requirements of the Lake De Smet County's coalition that the state engineer's office required was that we produce an annual report. And this annual report basically was to help protect the water rights in the lake from being filed again. Presently, we are the only lake in the state of Wyoming that is required to do that report. And to the best of our knowledge, no motions or filings have been made against any of the storage or other water rights in the lake. So this is a request coming from the Lake De Smet Advisory Board asking that the county would write a letter to the state to ask if we could be exempt from providing that annual report. The annual report is a large, cumbersome document. It requires work of our engineer, the Lake De Smet Operating Department, and if you talk to the state engineer's office, they don't even read it. So I am requesting on behalf of the Lake De Smet Advisory Board and the Lake De Smet Operating Department that you allow the chair to send a letter to the state engineer's office asking for removal of that reporting requirement.
Hey,
I make a motion that we approve the chair to send a letter down to Cheyenne to see about getting us removed off that list.
Okay, I'll
second that.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded by Mr. Novotny. You got a second? Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, we may want to seek input from Mr. Crago on that request.
Bill, what do you want me to comment on, other than to help you write the letter? You mean
that, and then just if you had any additional insight for the other two commissioners, going back to kind of the inception of the dissolution of the county's coalition.
You know, Bill, I don't have anything to add. I mean, that was a requirement that was in place before we even took over, right? I mean, that one has been there a long time. So I actually, other than to know we do it every year and I've looked it over, I don't know anything about it, but it seems like a good idea to get out of it if it's costing us a lot of work and no one uses it anyways.
Thanks, Mr. Crago.
With those comments, we've got a motion on the floor and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Okay. Need to approve the minutes of the last meeting.
I think extensions is on your list, Mr. Chairman.
Johnson County Extension.
Oh, I changed pages.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Nice. How are you?
About
good.
That, gentlemen.
All right, there's no smiling out there.
Yeah, I know it. We need to be straight up and down serious, right? It's terrible. No, we just came to request our annual closure to follow UW policies of the Christmas closure that they follow to close the extension office down. Of course, as a county office, we need the approval on the county end of things. The timeline for us is December 23rd through the 27th, that week of Christmas. And then UW follows through the holidays and wants us back on the 3rd of January. We were going to go ahead and request to close through that Friday as well, so we weren't back in for just one day. So essentially 10 business days that the extension office is closed. UW on campus type stuff will happen on the 6th through the 13th is when everyone starts to come back. So we'll be back at the earliest end on UW timeline. But that would be our Christmas closure.
So it would be closed December 23rd to January 3rd.
Correct. Yep.
That happens every year.
So. Yep.
It probably is fine.
Easy enough.
The university is closed.
Do you need a motion on that, Bill?
Commissioner Shelley, yes, we do, because we're authorizing the closure of a county office on a normal date.
I make a motion that we approve the closure from December 23rd to January 3rd for the Johnson County Extension Office.
I will second that.
Okay. The motion has been made. It's been seconded that the Extension Office be closed from 23rd to the 3rd of January. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you, gentlemen.
Perfect. Thank you, guys. And we'll be back there in January to give you a year in review. So, appreciate it. Thank you much.
Thanks.
Okay, letter to the Water Development Board. Annual report, Wyoming Homeland Security Grant.
Just making sure.
Mr. Kandel will give us an update on the grant award between the Wyoming Office of Homeland Security and Johnson County.
Morning, gentlemen, ladies. this will sound very similar to my presentation 2 weeks ago, but it's in the Emergency Management Performance Grant versus the State Homeland Security Project Grant. So this is in the amount of $38,434. This is a cost-sharing grant. This applies specifically to my salary and benefits, and this pays approximately, or is supposed to pay approximately 50%. this grant looks like it does every year. I would like to note that yesterday from the director of Wyoming Office of Homeland Security, I did receive a publishing from the National Emergency Management Association. From what I understand, the last 2 years of the EMPG grant, even though the cost share says 50%, it's been about 40%. In reality, it's gone down, not because of their lack of commitment, but a lot of it has to do with funding and the amount of funding that comes into the state of Wyoming from FEMA. And so the National Emergency Management Association actually has issued a letter to the transition team for the incoming cabinet, specifically pertaining to EMPG, that was issued, or I received yesterday. And they are seeking, I feel like it's important to note that they're seeking some positions within the certain councils of the president, and they're looking to get rid of certain grant programs that really haven't been beneficial to very many people, specifically the BRIC grant program, the Building Resilient Infrastructure in Communities. It's just there's a lot of federal guidelines around those that make it really difficult to make those grants work. this association is also really highlighting the fact that the EMPG grants have been reduced over the last 2 years, and so they're asking for President-elect Trump to reevaluate these grant programs and put some more money back into them. So hopefully going forward in the next coming years, we'll be looking at some increases in the amount of money that we come from this grant. In addition to, they're asking for the FEMA director to become a part of the presidential cabinet. So some interesting things going on there, but ultimately what this is about today is about this grant agreement and just money coming in to supplement my pay and benefits. So obviously I have a personal vested interest in it, but yeah, so.
Okay. I'd like a motion for approval of grant agreement between the Wyoming Office of Homeland Security and Johnson County.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Okay, MOU juvenile detention in Johnson County and Campbell County.
I think that's Tucker's, Mr. Ruby.
Mr. Ruby, if we may have you front and center.
Delighted.
We would like to hear about this.
So, I was contacted by an administrator at the Campbell County Jail. From time to time, we have juveniles that get in trouble and are required to be incarcerated for a period of time. We do not have a facility that can house juveniles, and so we have to use another facility. So there's a facility in Casper that can do this, and there's a facility in Gillette that can do this. Gillette obviously is closer, it's more convenient for us. We haven't really had a written agreement with them in the past. We've had sort of an understanding. This is a formalization of what we agree to pay them. It sets out the fees, sets out what the costs and what the expenses are for us. Most of the expenses that we incur are on the front end. So it's going to be $150 per day. That's an increase from what we previously had to pay, but that's not surprising. That's kind of happening everywhere. We try to avoid this as much as possible if we can. We try not to incarcerate juveniles or have them in detention if we can keep that from happening, but it does become necessary depending on the seriousness of the case. There were a couple things that I one thing that I added to the payment section. I've read through and reviewed this. This is the memorandum of understanding that they sent me. I updated one thing in the payment section that talks about our obligation to pay. Most of the cases that we deal with where a juvenile is going to be in detention is a delinquency case or will end up being a delinquency case. And once it is a delinquency case and once it is seen in court, once we have our initial appearance of the juvenile in court for a delinquency, then the Department of Family Services takes over the requirement to pay. And so I wanted to make sure that was clear in this document that we will pay. Usually we pay for the first few days until we can get into the court and be there for the initial appearance. And then the Department of Family Services comes in and pays the rest of it. And so I wanted to make sure that was clear, that our obligation to pay ends with that. There are other circumstances where we will be required to pay for the entire time that they're in detention. But those are few and far between. We try to be pretty creative and find other alternatives. There's quite a bit of research out there about detention of juveniles that it's not necessarily beneficial. However, there are cases in Johnson County. We don't often have those cases where it's necessary, but we have had. And so this is just formalizing an agreement between us and Campbell County so that they know that we're going to pay them. We've not had an issue with paying them in the past. They're actually doing this memo of understanding with multiple counties just to make sure that everyone is clear on what's expected and to allow us to continue to use them. What's been a difficulty and an issue in the last couple years is when we do, on the odd occurrences that we need them, they're often full, and so they have kids from other places. And so I'm hoping by having a memorandum of understanding maybe they'll hold a place for us, or we'll have more availability to be able to get in there when we need to. And so they have a bunch of these that they're waiting on signature to get back to their county commissioners so that they can get them signed and get this stuff formalized. And so I would ask that you authorize the chairman to sign this document so we can forward it on. It doesn't obligate us unless we use their services. Questions?
It's all good.
I'd like a motion for approval of the memorandum of understanding between Campbell County and Johnson County for detention of juveniles.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion?
Second.
Just a second, okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you,
Mr. Thank you.
You're up next.
Oh, I'm up next, so I can just stay.
Bill, I don't think we're going to be able to keep you on the phone for much longer. Fire warden, here.
I think I'm up next for the year interview. Unless you want me just to tell you things are going well and I'm done. So, just quick update. I got the numbers from the circuit court about what we've had. We've had approximately 1,800 misdemeanor cases filed this year in circuit court. And that's, so when I say misdemeanors, that's not all DUIs. You know, the DUIs and those types of things, the more serious misdemeanors, there's about 150 to 160 of those. And then when you have traffic tickets and other more minor violations, that takes up the lion's share of that number. And so not to concern everyone. Those numbers are pretty in line with what we've had in the past, maybe a bit of an uptick. And then I checked yesterday. We are presently sitting with about 35 felony cases that have been filed this year. That number was actually inflated last week, or in the last probably about 10 days, we had 5 new felonies that were filed, 3 of which were individuals that are not from our county that were traveling through. Kind of an interesting case. It involved a scam that was going on kind of throughout the country. Did not initiate here, but there are warrants for these individuals in various locations, and we were able to apprehend them here. We've had in the last about 3 weeks, we've had a couple different opportunities to do that where there have been folks that they've been trying to get their hands on, and we were able to apprehend them in Johnson County. That's a pretty exciting thing for us. You know, we're a pretty small jurisdiction, but our law enforcement is very active. They work hard and they do a good job, and so that allows us to be able to prosecute those kind of cases here. As far as the cases we're dealing with, a lot of theft. There's been a lot of theft cases that have come up. There's quite a few crimes involving children this year. There's various violent cases as well, which is kind of unique and interesting given the circumstances. But I think it kind of speaks to kind of the unrest and kind of the world that we live in today. Johnson County is still a very safe and very good place to live. And our office is working hard to make sure that maintains. Those are the two criminal elements of my job. The juvenile side of my job, I don't share the numbers about what those are because those cases are confidential. However, there's been quite a bit of activity this year on juvenile cases. There's been various cases that have been filed in the last few years that we were able to get good resolutions on that we're happy about. And there's always, you know, juveniles that need help and that need some intervention. We work well with the schools. We work well with the Department of Family Services and other agencies around to make sure that we're doing our job there. And then as you gentlemen know, obviously there's a lot of civil issues that are going on, things that we're dealing with in the county, lawsuits and otherwise. And so all in all, our office is busy. I have a good staff. I have good attorneys that work with me and make my job easy and make my job fun. And so I think it's been a good, successful year. I think we'll go into the new year and do well. As far as the 35 felonies, that's pretty much in line with what we usually have. You know, we still have another month to go, so we'll see what happens as far as, you know, what we end out the year with. But, you know, a lot of those folks are folks that are, you know, just to, you know, put people at ease a little bit. A lot of those folks, Lysa, various of those folks, three of them from the last 10 days, not from here. No ties to Johnson County. They just happened to commit a crime in Johnson County. We had another pretty interesting case that is going on right now, and I would just bring it up because it seems to be something that goes on throughout this throughout the country. And there was a case involving basically a fake horse. An individual was running a scam on the internet, had a bunch of things that would demonstrate that this horse was real, was able to scam someone in Johnson County. This individual didn't even live here, lived in Pennsylvania, and was able to scam an individual in Johnson County to get them where they believed the horse did exist, and they paid a substantial amount of money for this horse to come, and then that individual ended up basically never showing up, never bringing the horse, never making good on it. And the reason I bring that up is because it happens all over the country. This was a big criminal organization that was involved in this sort of thing. I don't think we got the kingpin who was dealing with it, but we got one of the individuals. And one of the sheriff's deputies actually worked a lot and worked really hard, was able to track down the individual that did this. I was able to get video of the individual who went and cashed the check for the payment on this. And the reason I bring that up is because, once again, these are the kind of things that in many jurisdictions, this is just one of those things where they tell people, sorry, yet taken advantage of, and we wish we could help, but there's not much we can do. And this particular deputy went above and beyond, did a lot of work to really, really look into and figure out a way to find out who this individual was. We did find them. We did get them arrested. We did bring them back, and they're presently sitting in our jail awaiting trial. And so that's a pretty neat thing for us, I think, just because it's important to know, and I think it's important for folks to understand, whether they're from Wyoming or they're from other jurisdictions, that if you come to Wyoming or if you come to Johnson County and you do things you're not supposed to, then you will be held accountable. And I think that's a good thing, and that's what, to go back to my original statement of Johnson County is a safe, nice place to live, that's what makes it a safe and nice place to live, is people are watching and people are holding people accountable, and I appreciate that. And it's fun to work with those gentlemen that are working hard and trying to do a good job there. And so I appreciate the opportunity to serve and look forward to continuing.
Thank you. Sorry, I overlooked you.
That's right, Bob. I was hurt. I was offended for a second, but I got over it.
Well, you got your feelings.
Yeah, my feelings are okay. But I'll answer any questions if you have any.
So you're saying what? Don't believe everything on the internet?
Don't believe everything on the internet. Turns out it's not all true. That surprised me.
Facebook is not all true.
Yeah, it's not all true. Yeah. You know, you go on there and people lie to you. It's weird.
Yeah, it's something that you always want to remember if you're looking at Facebook and something comes up that's for sale. If it seems to be too good to be true, it is.
Well, it's just, you know, we live in a... The funny thing about it is you used to... If you're buying a horse, you probably bought a horse from somebody you knew, right? Or someone that you knew somebody else. And in the digital world we live now with the internet, then we're able to purchase things from a great distance. And sometimes those things are complete scams. And so the rise of those sorts of things has gone up exponentially in our county, in every county. And so it's one of those things that is really a conundrum and a difficulty for law enforcement to try to figure out, how do we deal with those sorts of things? And this is a great example of, you know, this individual, I can guarantee you that he never thought that he would ever have to come to Wyoming to account for what had happened. And, you know, hopefully he tells his friends, maybe don't do that in these smaller jurisdictions, because they do actually care about their people. And so that was pretty exciting and fun for us to deal with. But yeah, there's a lot of that going on, and a lot of time, I mean, we're not able to do something every time. Sometimes it ends up, you know, we're not able to do much, and we don't know about everything, and we can't always solve every case, but we're working hard to serve the people of Johnson County.
So. We appreciate that.
Thank you. And Barry's a good deputy, just so you know. I appreciate having him. I'm saddened to lose him for the next couple months here coming in a little bit, but we'll soldier on.
Much good over the next 2 months.
Yeah.
When he's here. Okay, I know it's a little early, but the County Road and Bridge is here. If they'd like to come up before us, I appreciate it. Otherwise, we'll wait until 10:15.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful day out there. I guess we're here to talk about year-end review stuff from Road and Bridge. I'll just kind of start out at the top. A couple of the bigger projects that we've been working on is, of course, a couple bridges. We have one in Barnum. Engineer's estimate on that is $1,900,000. That bridge will actually bid in July of 25. That's a YDOT project. That's part of the Biden dollars that came down, so there's no cost on that bridge to the county. The next bridge that we have is the Crazy Woman Canyon Bridge that we've been working on for the last at least 4 years. We did go out to bid. There was four bidders that bid. The apparent low bidder, we haven't awarded yet, was Battle Ridge Builders LLC out of Belgrade, Montana. They came, engineer's estimate was $1,370,000. They came in at $1,085,125, which is about $107,142,500 under engineer's estimate, so that's always good. So that project will move on first thing this spring as we go ahead. Busy summer, of course, we have the North-South Bypass project and that portion of Rock Creek that we piggybacked on with YDOT. Originally, our portion was going to be done this coming year, but it got bumped due to the box culvert on the north end or the south end of Main Street, so that helped us out. I was glad to see that happen. Of course, we paved South and North Bypass and then Rock Creek from I-90 north to the bridge. Project went real well. Our portion's pretty much complete. They had a little bit of cleanup on the north end of Rock Creek where they cleaned out some pavers and stuff, but that's the beauty of that project. The Main Street project is, of course, all the wrap material that came off North-South Bypass and Rock Creek, that all came back to the county, which went to the King Place. And then also in that project, as they redo Main Street, a portion of that, when they do the reclamation on that, when they grind the asphalt up and mix it in with the base and stuff, a portion of that comes back to the county. The state's taking a third, the county's taking a third, and the city gets a third. Our portion this year was about 5,000 ton. Out of that 5,000 yards, out of that 5,000 cubic yards, I used about 2,600 ton of it on the far end of TW Road. We did some spot graveling and so forth out there. The other portion of that, I helped the ambulance barn project out a little bit. They used about 2,500 yards of that material for their building pad. And then we also, last winter in between snowstorms and stuff, we did all the tree removal on that lot and everything for them. Moving on, we worked over about 6 miles of Schoonover Road from I-90 down to Iberlin Road. That was a total reshape. Added one new cattle guard, worked over a couple, and then we re-graveled that. And then we did something a little bit different down there with the chloride. We actually put down a pound and a half, and then we blade mixed that into the road, rolled it, set it up, and then we actually went back on top and treated the top just to see. The traffic down there has just been, it's unreal, the traffic on that piece of road. We did about 110 miles of dust abatement this year. That's most of that's under our CMAC dollars. That's on industrial roads. The thing we did see this year that stepped up a little bit was participation with private residents on like Lake Ridge, Canal Road. There we had, usually we have a couple up there this year. I don't remember.
Five or six.
There was five or six that stepped up and paid for it to get it done in front of their home. So that's
another 6,000 feet or so.
Yeah, another 6,000 feet that we did. So we're seeing a little bit more participation in that. People are realizing that if they want that benefit, then they need to, first they need to think where they build their house. When you build it on the edge of a busy county road, you're going to have dust. So, and then as far as wrap goes, we did We had a pile on Hazleton. We have that screened this year. We had a pile at the King Place. We got that screened, so it's a good usable product. We ended up getting the wrap material off the section of road from Coomer Road to Healy. That all came back to the county, and Whiteout trucked that to the King property. If you were there in and out there towards Fair, you've seen that place was just overfull. And like I said, there'll be probably another 5,000 or 6,000 yards that'll come in off the rest of the Main Street project this year. And then the other thing that's going to happen, we do have a pile of wrap in KC that we have a storage agreement on a piece of the Idle family's property down there. They're doing another section of I-25 down there, so we'll have another pretty good bag of wrap material that'll come off I-25 back to the county, which is nice. That's a free product to us, so that's a huge benefit for us. Cattle guards, we replaced about 14 cattle guards. These are all existing cattle guards. They were done on Schoonover, Powder River, and Tipperary were the big ones we hit this year. And those were all cattle guards that have been in the ground for about 20 years. That's pretty much a life on them and so forth. So that's 14 sounds like a lot, but when you look at it, when there's 326 total cattle guards in the county, I mean, when you look at Powder River, there's 24 miles and there's just a hair under 25 miles of road and there's 24 cattle guards. So when you look at it that way, other little projects that we kind of helped out on, we did a little bit of work up at the youth camp for the youth camp. We removed some hanging trees and so forth like that. And then we worked their fire pit and cleaned that up. So it was a little more, inviting, and then their Gaga pit, we moved that around back so it just wasn't in the front yard, just kind of the thing. The library in KC, we tore down the old house for the library down there first of the year last year. That was just kind of something they bought the lot next to them, so we tore that down and cleaned all that up. Then the landowner for the Tower Road going up to the Reed Peters, he ended up buying the property next to him. So he owns both Tower Roads up there. He was in contact with me, so I went up and met with Ryan Sullivan, and we ran up both roads and looked at them and stuff and kind of evaluated. He preferred the county go to using the East Road, which I think is a lot better road. It's almost half the distance as the other road to maintain. So then we went in a week or so later and spent a day up there with the dozer and worked that road over and everything. So hopefully it helps everybody with access there. The other thing that we kind of helped out with a little bit, we got asked to, with the 4-H shooting building over there, we actually went in and built the pad for that. And then the other day in between snow squalls when we had a little bit of time, we got in there and we got the water and the sewer up to the edge of the pad. So it's just a matter of getting that connected in and so forth. All that material, the material that, of course, comes from our borrow source on the old Irvine gravel pit out there. We have a place that we borrow dirt. We've used it at the airport for building pads and so forth. I like it because I know we can make compaction on it. And then another project that we had out on the end of French Creek, we worked with the UM Ranch and their contractor, and then I think the Clear Creek Conservation District was involved in that too. They had, the steerhead has had a ditch there for years that it always washes out and then runs down the borrow ditch, and it's washed quite a canyon and stuff in there. So as they put that water line in, we hauled a lot of material in there and built that up and got a good shoulder back on the road and so forth. So it was kind of a win-win for both parties. They weren't going to have enough material to get good cover over their water pipeline, and it helps get the water out of the ditch. So that was a good deal. And then the other thing, it was kind of nice to come to work yesterday. I have a full staff. I was down as many as 6 this year out of the 9 in Buffalo. So I mean, it was a pretty big hit. Hiring is a challenge. I have one that has completed the CDL driving course. I actually have 3 in it that started yesterday with Sheridan County with a little pressure. They're doing, actually the first one had to go to Sheridan to do it. These they're doing here in Buffalo. And they're a little bit simpler because they're actually going from a class B to a Class A. We require a Class A, so you can drive those combination vehicles and so forth. So that kind of about does it for Road Bridge. Any questions?
Where's are you at with the Hazelton project up there for parking?
Of course, that permit got signed and so forth. That will be a spring project. All of our signs and stuff up, we'll just kind of run that this winter as we have in the past. We were up a couple weeks ago and did a little work to snow fence up there. It needed a little bit of repair. Did that, made sure all of our signs were up, and then we do have that agreement with YDOT to plow the hill. So we'll just kind of carry on this year with the way we've done it. It'll still make that spring date to get down there. Still will be the end of March, which is always a... But then we can get in there next summer and get a hardened surface parking lot built and get into a better situation up there. And feel very fortunate that that's a 30-year deal, so we kind of know where we're... That's big, instead of working year to year like we've done. So that's kind of where we're at there. So.
I don't think I have any questions. I appreciate all the efforts you put in, and I'm glad to hear that your staff is back up to full strength.
Not as happy as they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys better understand.
The other thing I'll mention, Road and Bridge, we were awarded our CMAQ dollars. We did a little better than we did last year. Of course, we put in for $267,713 is what our application was. They came back and we ended up overmatching a little bit. We overmatched. They cut us. I forget what they cut us. They cut us about $31,000 from what we. So we overmatched that to bring it back to a total project number of $289,959. So
that's how the project. How much additional money does it cost to treat a mile of road?
You know, that number is really. It's like everything. It's come up. I mean, when we originally started, we were looking at about, and that's 20 years ago, that we were about, at that time, we were between $28,000 and $3,000 a mile. Now we're over about seven. We hit over seven. And that's just material. That's not the equipment time and all that that goes into it and so forth. So it's like, it seems like a lot, but when you start looking at what everything costs, that goes into that. That's, I guess you call it part of doing business. So
but it saves your grapple dollars.
It does. I see it as more as it protects our infrastructure and our investment there. Not only do I see it as a dust abatement, which the traveling public and the people who live along the road like, it's a kind of a road stabilizer, which helps me because that means that road grader that's usually out there maintaining that piece of road three or four times a year, he's doing it twice a year, so that machine can be someplace else working. So it frees us up manpower-wise, equipment-wise, to do other projects and so forth. So when you have a small crew, that means a lot, that you're just getting that much more done. So.
Well, we're getting calls more. Like I said, we did several thousand feet last year private. They're calling this year other areas, having seen that, and saying, well, how can I do that? And I think that helps. Then they're talking to their neighbors, trying to put it together.
I guess I'll touch a little bit on the lake then. You want to pass them out a report there. I guess the biggest thing out of the Michael Potts this year, of course, that bank stabilization project between the Barkey's Draw and over towards the Lions Club, that's been a project we've been working on for about 3 years. We finally finished that up over the winter. The thing, when you start looking at these stats that I always like to look at, if you look at the total for fiscal year, we started tracking this by fiscal year. For fiscal year 24, we took in about $81,082.90. Of that, about $8,000 of it was, we had to pay our lodging tax and our sales tax. So our income was about $72,967. As you look down at those stats, something that I always kind of find interesting, if you look at the very bottom of the page there, if you look down camper breakdown, in 24, it looked like the users from Johnson County is about 14.9%. which in 2018 they were 13.77. Sheridan this year was at 24.14. In 2018, they were about 29.8. In 2023, they were at 23.67. Then you look at Campbell County, they were down a little bit the year. They were right at about 10%. Then the other one that's kind of a layer out there that we've really noticed is other states. And that's gone from about anywhere in 2019, it looked like it was about 27.67%. This year it was at 44.23. And you can really see that. It seems like we've been found. And we have these people that pass through. You'll see them in the spring of the year. They're usually older, retired people that are traveling. Then you'll usually see them back in the fall. I like to call them low-impact campers. They pull in. They read the bulletin board. They're the first ones to walk up there, pay their fees. They're self-contained. They're the ones that leave the nice notes and the fee box. That, you know, we love the place. We stayed an extra couple days. So that's kind of neat to see. So if you look at the total there, the Johnson County, Sheridan, Campbell County, that's about 48.27%. We did something a little bit different out there. Site 70 and 71 are two sites that are pretty premium. They back right up the beach. They got a nice place to camp. Those, of course, with our 14-day stay, over the last few years, we've had a lot of problems with Dad will pull in, set up camp. Then the son pulls in when his 14 days are up, and then Dad comes back, or the cousin comes back. So we looked at that a little different because we were getting a lot of complaints that you know, somebody was tying that up for 6 weeks or half the summer at a time. So we call those now our preferred camping. And as what those are is you actually have to come to our office to get a reservation. You're only allowed to stay up to 7 days. And I think it went pretty well this summer. There was a lot of, we heard a lot of good about it because people felt that, you know, they could get in there. They could get, at least they had a better chance of getting in there and using those spots. And then the other thing is we have three spots that we put in a couple years ago that are over by the Lions Club. And we kind of treat those, there's three spots that are all together. And usually like people that are renting the Lions Club or using the multiple use area there, you can rent all three of them. If you want one, you rent them all three. I think we charge
$75
a night for that. So usually they're kind of set up so if a family's coming in or something. Like if you rent the Lions Club, you can use them and so forth. But if they're not rented, you can rent them too. So, but we've seen that where we have people who come in and say, hey, we just like the idea that, you know, they'll pay the $75 and just rent the one spot so they have it all. And that was one of the other things that kind of went on this year out there, too. Of course, we ended up buying that playground set from the School of Arvada, Claremont, which was a great addition out there. When we first did it, I didn't know quite how that was going, but when you go out there on Memorial Day weekend or about any weekend you go out there, I think every kid in Johnson County's played on that once or twice, so that was a pretty big deal. So the very last page of the deal, this was a sign that was made that was hung up at the Balmer Mountain, and we had an opportunity to pick that sign up. And what it is we're using it, and there'll be little plaques that'll put on it, and that's all for people that have made contributions to the recreation out there. So there'll be like one for the Lions Club, and I forget all.
Ty went on fishing, donated all the fishing.
They do a fundraiser every year, and with some of those dollars, they kick back to us to buy life jackets for those life jacket stations out there. So that's kind of a neat thing. They'll have one of theirs. Those plaques will be for them. Of course, Blakeman Propane's a big supporter out there. So as we have those bigger supporters, we just wanted something that they could be recognized that they are definitely partners in what goes on out there. And last year we had a gentleman that passed away, and in his memorial, it ended up being about $2,500. And his request was that we use that for trees. So last year was kind of a bumper year of planting trees. Usually we're in that 25 to 30 trees that we plant every year. This year, I think we were closer to that 45, 50 trees that we're planting. And two, when we do that, then we use some of those funds to get water to them and so forth. And I think that's a success. If you've been out there lately and drive through, I mean, you can really start seeing now, you can see the years in the trees, in the heights and sizes and stuff like that. So that's a win-win there. So, and I'll give a little hook out there. We've had some different groups at the high school that have come out and helped us. They'll come out and do some volunteer, and I know the National Honor Society, FBLA, SMAG Kids, when we plant those trees, I know Jim Wallard's daughter, my daughter, have rounded up kids and come out, and they spend a day and help us plant trees and so forth. We've had the Boy Scouts do a little bit out there, and then, too, also the football team is they like to have a fall kind of get-together thing that they've had out there, and they'll just go around and pick up garbage or whatever just to kind of help out. So we still have, I like to see those partnerships, so I think that's what, if you can take a little, if you can buy into it a little bit, then you take better care of a facility like that. So.
The one thing we're finding more and more out there is people are asking if we take credit cards, so we're exploring some options like Venmo, or we're getting a new permit program that eventually maybe we can tie into it that they can pay. We're exploring, trying to figure out a way they can pay online.
You know, and I think
that's something that's growing more and more.
And not only that, from a safety standpoint, I mean, it would be nicer where you could do that electronically instead of having pay boxes out there that at any given time can have, you know, three big weekends, $4,000 laying in those boxes. So if we can, I mean, that's something I think that we, as a county as a whole, we need to look at that and maybe get that where it's, anytime you can do it that way, I think it's a better way of doing things. So, but that's, we'll just have to put our heads together and figure out a path to maybe get towards that. So.
And if you want to see the sign, it's still hanging at Bomber Mountain, but in the spring it'll go up and it'll be all epoxy. Protect it from the weather. So.
Well, thanks for running Road and Ridge so well and hiring you for us.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to call it that from now on.
That's where I go for therapy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Well, I would like to invite our fire warden to come up for his year-end review.
I have nothing.
Didn't
we didn't even have a year. No, I don't really have the exact figures, but between Powder River Fire and Johnson County Fire District, we probably burned over 180,000 acres out of a total cost of $8 million. Powder River is sitting on like 55 calls right now. Johnson County Fire District sitting at 115 calls in that area. You know, that's a day-to-day deal. As the suppression account goes, the suppression account is broke. And it's broke for next year, plus another 17,000. So it's $57 million in the hole as we speak. So I'm headed this week to Casper to meetings, and we'll put our heads together, and then we'll go to legislation and see if we can get that all reimbursed and a little more if we can. But as the season went, this was one of the worst fire seasons that's ever been in the Northeast Wyoming. And the way the weather's going right now, it could happen again all next year. So, other than that, I don't really have that much more. I think any kind of questions, I can try to wing it.
Fire ban is still in effect?
Nope. That was like 2 weeks ago. I put it out. I sent Bill an email and all that, the sheriff's office, and what the resolution said. I emailed all them folks, state, BLM, dispatch. So, and that really worked well this year because I could put it on and take it off whenever I wanted to. So, and the 7,000 foot level, the people don't quite understand that yet, but I think they're starting to learn a little bit. But that this year the BLM didn't get a burn because it was too dry, so we didn't. It would have worked well if they could have got up there and burned. So, but I think that worked well. So, if we could keep rolling that over, that would be fantastic.
Did you have any injuries, firemen, this year?
None.
Very good.
No, everybody was pretty wore out by the end of the season. We had a hard time getting firefighters to come to a call. We still do, but that's expected, you know. Mm-hmm. And they have real jobs, and sure. And they've taken all their vacation and time off. So, but I think Mark's even picked up a few new firefighters, and we picked up a few. We've lost some, gained some, so our numbers are pretty good right now. So, as equipment goes, I know Casey's had some problems with breakdowns and stuff. We're sitting pretty solid. We have one Type 4 that's down right now with the transmission out, but it just needs to be put back together. But I know at one time Mark had an engine, a transmission. I don't know, he had like 5 trucks broke down at one time. But other than that, we're all ready to go again.
They got all their trucks running again now, and mm-hmm. I think we got them all done within 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, they brought State Forestry up with their mechanics, and they had them done in like 3 days. I mean, them guys are amazing. Yeah, State Forestry is fantastic to work with. Also, after January, we'll start working on MOUs and AOP between the Forest Service and the BLM and the state, so we'll start working on all that, get all that figured out and lined up for next year. So it's just another year, and we keep going.
And moving forward.
Yep.
Be safe.
Yeah, and I think all the fires in Northeast Wyoming, I believe there's only 3 structures lost, and that's Sheridan County and Campbell County. And one civilian got ran over by a pickup and broke his femur, and that was in Sheridan County. Other than that, there was no injuries whatsoever, which is amazing for what fire we had.
And with the Casper Station plans there right now has been a huge help too, correct?
Oh, yeah. The State Forestry and the BLM and Forest Service have just done a wonderful job of keeping the aviation in the air, and they keep adding on. the BLM put a large air tanker in Casper for all fires in the state of Wyoming. They had 2 seats, and the State Forestry, had 2 seats in the helicopter at all times. And I don't think there's a day that they didn't fly. And then they extended the state helicopter. It just went off like 2 weeks ago. But they had a busy, everybody had a busy season. And I know the BLM, I had a couple friends who were seasonals, and they extended them like 2 months, then one of them just got off an engine here 2 weeks ago. So it's been a very expensive year for everybody. At one time, the Forest Service didn't have enough money to pay any of their firefighters, and we're going to start downsizing and season out the hotshot crews. But then they figured out how to get more money. So if we would have lost them, it would have been tough, you know, a longer season. Yeah,
fire.
Well, maybe. Mm-hmm. So
that's about the time they started running low on money.
Yeah. But as overall, I mean, between Powder River Fire, Johnson County Fire District, the BLM, the State Forestry, Campbell County, Sheridan, we all work so well together. It's just, we're all communicating, everything just running really smooth. We get on the phone and we know who to contact, they know who to contact, and things just get rolling. And I want to put a shout out for Casper Dispatch. Eddie down there just does a fantastic job of dispatching all the trucks for Wyoming and engines, aircraft, the whole 9 yards. She's got a great, great bunch of people down there. So other than that, if you got any more questions, I'll try to help you out.
Well, you earned your money this year.
Yeah, well. We'll see.
That's good, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay, with the review from the fire warden, that brings us to a time to look at the vouchers. Is there any questions about any of the vouchers?
No.
Vouchers and
I didn't have any, Mr. Chair.
Okay, the vouchers came to $346,323.70. Okay, do we have a motion to approve the vouchers?
Make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. I'll let the pay bills keep us open for another month. Or 2 weeks. Brings us to a time of public comment. Is there any public comment? With no public comment, I would entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Meeting is adjourned.
This audio was brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.